Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Bruce, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, tattoo removal specialist.
Right.
Laser treatment specialist, dermabrasion specialist, ER specialist. Yes?
Yeah. I'd have to say so. I haven't done ER in a while, but...
Bruce is 1,000 times better than Drew. It's just Drew comes in a much nicer package.
If this is true, you're going to go to jail, buddy.
Oh. He doesn't sound like your drunken dad giving you a talking to. Use the mic. Let's shake things up and have you use the mic this time. Normally, Bruce speaks into a shoe tree. But tonight, let's have you use the mic.
All right.
What do you say, buddy?
All right.
Yeah. Bruce, I'm a big fan of Dr. Bruce because Bruce knows his ass. Drew, don't futz with it. Just get up on the mic. And don't touch it. Oh, quiet. That didn't hit you.
Yeah, I have good insurance.
Here I'm saying is some doctors are like lawyers. All right, you ever talk to lawyers and you start scratching the surface and you realize they don't really know that much, or they deal in this sort of pseudo science that's not, there's no black and white, no up,
semantics.
No down, you know, and when they're all done, it's like, well, it just depends what the judge says. You know what I mean? It's very unsatisfying.
Yeah. You're not implying Drew's that type of doctor.
Eh, he's got a little that. Oh, got a little that. Little
Drew's
that.
Got depth.
Little that. Uh-huh. And paranoid too. And
he's a good internist. Paranoid makes a good internist.
Look, let me tell you something. He was telling me he got this, and he's like a Nancy boy. He got this hernia surgery a couple years back, yeah. And he came in here after 3 weeks on a gurney, and he was just whining. He just kept whining about how bad it was and how painful it was. And then I had to get the same surgery, and he took a certain pride in telling me, oh, man, don't plan on doing anything. Believe me, there's pain, you know. And when a doctor's talking this way, it freaks you out a little bit. He told me to be prepared to do nothing for a week and to be in pain for... Let me tell you something about that puss. I was up early the next morning, swinging glass doors, no problem at all. Felt
That's
great.
Amazing. I had mine about 4 years ago. I was out for 5 to 7 days, and I was waiting for you to have yours because I was going to just...
And you two praying that Drew was praying that I was crippled.
I was praying by the operation. At least a few days.
Yeah.
But no such luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I felt good. And then I got mad at Drew because he had me all built. You know what it's like when you're going in to get surgery and your colleague doctor gives you a, I had the same thing. Look out.
Called hanging black crepe.
Yes. Yeah. And here's the thing, too, because you think he's going to water it down a little. Like you think even if it is bad, you're going to get the, you know, it's like any procedure. There's a little discomfort, but you'll get through it. Now, he was like, oh, no. You're going to wish you were dead.
Yeah.
You're going to pray that you just stop breathing in the middle of the procedure.
Adam, I'd hate to say you're a know-it-all, but, you know, it's one of those things. It's not a serious procedure, and a lot of us were sort of hoping you'd be in some significant pain.
I know you were. Keeping your tongue depressors crossed. But no such luck.
No.
I had the procedure at 5 in the afternoon, and at 7 a.m. I sprung to my feet and started swinging doors.
Yeah, I heard. I checked.
But then you didn't come into work like 2 days after that.
No, that was another. That was my sweaty head. That hurt. The ball sack thing, nothing. Sweaty head operation. That was a big deal.
Yeah, well, they collapsed your lung for that and everything, don't they?
No, I don't know what they did, but it hurt. But here's the thing. No, I didn't miss anything with the... The hernia thing, I think I got like on a Friday, because Saturday I was swinging the door, so I definitely didn't miss anything. Thanks, Anderson. Hey, Anderson, if you want me to pay you that money, you better be quiet. Scott? But
there was a time.
There was a time, but it's not the time we're talking about, Dip.
I'll check my records, buddy.
Please check your records. Modify them if it can help your story. Scott?
Hello?
You're 18?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, see, I just moved here from Washington State. I was in foster care.
And I come back and I find my mom. She's this alcoholic and she's...
I already don't believe you, Scott.
Well...
Okay, we'll let him finish.
Really? I didn't believe him syllables in.
You're a lot better than me at bogus calls, but...
All right, keep going, fight. Scott. The foster care part is an interesting twist.
Yeah.
Well, see, the thing is my mom divorced my dad. She's not straight in the head. And she's married to my stepfather, who beats the crap out of her every day. But the thing is she still goes back to him. And I want to try to help her, but I don't want to destroy her marriage because I want her to be happy.
Hmm,
yeah.
Scott, is this a bogus call?
No, it isn't.
Do you know the Geneva Convention of Bogosity? You're familiar with that. By that convention, you must fess up if I call you on it.
Oh, yes.
You're not fessing up.
Trust me, this is not a bogus call.
Okay, because let me explain just to all the bogus callers out there. Here's how the Great Magnet works. Forget about God or Allah or any of those bozos. You should worry about the Great Magnet. If you call me and tell me, you know, you have polio or you have AIDS or you have cancer and it's a bogus call and I call you on it and you say, no, I actually do have AIDS, then of course we proceed as if you do.
Right.
If it is a bogus call and you didn't fess up, you will get AIDS.
Right. Karma.
No. Bruce will track you down and hit you with an infected syringe. Oh,
yeah, right.
That's not just karma. You can drive your karma over to their apartment, stab them with that junkie syringe.
Okay. So Scott's got some serious chaos going on.
Wow. And Scott, you were in foster care?
Yes, I was in foster care for 8 years.
So now why did you get taken out of the home in the first place?
Well, see, when my mom first married my stepfather, he's also an alcoholic, and he was very abusive. And I used to run away from home a lot, and they just finally said that enough is enough, and they put me in care.
How was that foster care?
It is not fun. Right now, my brother is still out there. He's my twin brother.
Ooh.
And
Was it not fun because it was structured and regimented and good for you, or was there abuse there?
Well, I was moving from house to house, and I lost a lot of contact with my other siblings. And, you know... Not only that, and, you know...
All right, Scott, this is the wise one talking. First off, I always thought it'd be cool if you were a foster family named Foster. Wouldn't it be cool?
Yeah.
You're like, it's my foster... It'd be a constant source of confusion.
More
still,
chaos, that's what they need.
Still, it would be funny if you were the Foster family.
Probably be 10 of them.
I would agree.
Yeah. Did you stay with any families called the Fosters?
No, but I actually had a caseworker. His last name is Foster.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. You're 18, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to do anything to save your mom. The best gift you can give to your mom is to do well in life. And then eventually, you know, you buy her house like a black athlete.
Scott, are you drinking or using right now?
No, I don't believe in smoking or drinking. I can't stand that stuff.
Okay. What tends to happen when you come from that kind of chaos and you have the genetics for addictions, like you obviously do, you're going to seek to either rescue somebody and get into a compulsive, addictive-type rescuing situation, or else you're going to get into the chemicals. Have you gone to Alateen or Al-Anon?
No.
Okay.
Are you Mormon?
That's you got to go to something that addresses the direction you're headed in already. You're already wanting to find out how to save and fix your mom. And yeah.
Scott,
there's an endless stream of people that you could fix.
Scott,
and save
get a job. Don't go to junior college. Promise me you'll not go to junior college.
No, I'm not going to junior college.
Scott, promise me you'll go to a couple of Al-Anon meetings in the next week. That's what he's got to do.
All right. Okay. And just get a job and start making some money and get a roommate and get out of the house.
Getting a job's not going to address the chaos he's come from, the addictive disorders in his family.
I know, but we know what he needs to do. He needs to come home tired.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
Guys are like, you know, it's like my dog. I got to run my dog around a little bit. Otherwise, the dog's up all night. Teenage boys are that way. You got to run them around.
Yeah, but Scott will go get a job somewhere where he's helping people. You know, he'll turn into, like, a lot of doctors and nurses go into helping professions. They have a lot of the same the same tendencies. So before he goes out and gets a job at a bar, goes gets a job somewhere where he's going to be rescuing people he needs to get.
Do they let nurses wear any kind of tennis shoe now, or are they still got to wear those creepy beige ones with the two pieces of Velcro on the top?
A lot of Birkenstock type of
thing. Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a popular dude?
Dudes and gals, yeah.
Well, a lot of confused sexuality amongst the nurses, would you say? Male and female? Strange breed? If I just said to you, I'm setting you up with a nurse friend of mine, how fast would you run?
I got to keep my mouth shut.
But you know they're nuts, right? Like, the only nurse I'll accept is a huge black man.
You do know my ex-wife's name.
The other ones that scare me. I don't know why. There's something. I don't mind a huge, massive, you know, black Rosie Grier type nurse.
Nursing.
Male.
Let me just say this: nursing is a great career for
good
anybody.
Good money.
These days. It's you're licensed within a couple of years. You're out making good money.
You're
good
you
hours.
You wear those creepy flesh tone shoes, the big bulbous toe.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. How comfortable do they really have to be? You know, if you think about, you know, the nurses are like, well, we're on our feet all day. Well, what about traffic cops? They wear nice patent leather shoes.
Yeah.
There are no construction workers wear a nice boot. Who else? Everyone's on their feet all day. What are you talking about?
Well, nobody's stopping them. Why don't they?
I'm just saying, and I'd like to see nurse. You know what you should do? You should get a shoe sponsorship at the hospital, like a basketball team.
Hmm.
Reebok or Nike in there.
Yeah.
Air nurse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a high-top nurse's shoe with a pump in it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just something decent. All I'm saying is when you go to the hospital, you look at people's feet a lot because they're all wearing the same scrubs. You know, everyone's wearing the same thing all the time. So you look down their feet in order to sort of identify them, and there's a lot of creepy shoes. And I don't like the Birkenstocks either. You know why? Because I think Birkenstock's a German shoe. And I don't like to think about Germans because then I start thinking about Nazis and weird World War II, Dr. Mengele type experiments.
Sure,
you know what I mean?
Remind you of the hippie thing. Huh?
I don't like the hippie thing. I don't like the idea that a guy's getting high in the parking lot before he comes in and puts my catheter in. I don't like that idea. And I don't like the hippie thing. And I don't like the Birkenstock Nazi, you know, Dr. Mengele thing either.
Yeah, I don't know where you've been. There's a lot of specialty companies now making special shoes.
Well, I like
all that kind of
how about you do something in a blue instead of that weird, creepy beige?
Okay.
Sid?
Oh, yeah.
You're 22?
I sure am.
What's up? Germany or Florida? Here we go.
Yeah, a little early, but here we go. An 8-year-old girl who was raped and tossed in a trash bin was near death as officers pulled her out from under chunks of concrete, 72 pounds, according to police reports released Thursday. The documents detail the girl's abduction and sexual assault, allegedly by a teenager staying in the same house she was visiting. Police discovered the girl in the trash bin at a landfill May 22nd, about 7 hours after she was reported missing from her mother's home. She was found partially clothed with what appeared to be the impressions of a footprint on her back, according to the reports. The girl did not initially respond when an officer who spotted her hand and foot in the rubble began yelling and shaking the bin, the report said.
All right.
She began wiggling her fingers after another
feel good story
arrived.
Of the year.
It's easy.
Well,
a rapist.
Yeah. It feels very, very Floridian,
Florida.
Yes? Yeah.
Trash bins, landfills.
Concrete.
Living at somebody's house. There's other people living at the house.
Yeah, the whole gang rape thing, you know. Yeah. I do know this is definitely the work of Jews or Asians. You know, I'm never wrong about this.
Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah, probably Jews, probably a roving Jewish gang. Yeah. So, Sid, we're both going Florida on this one.
Both of you?
Well,
yeah.
Both meaning me and Bruce.
All right. Okay, it's Florida.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for trying to talk us out of our correct answer, jackass. Both of you? Okay, and believe me, that would have worked on Drew.
Drew would have his answer.
Yes, yes.
Horrible instincts. It would have totally worked.
Drew blows in the wind. He'd make a great politician. he always looks at me. What are you going with?
Mm.
Yeah, he doesn't know what to do.
Who has a better percentage?
Our percentage, I would say. We're about the same. He's been a little better than me over the last few months, merely because I've been trying to give the opposite answer that he gives just to kind of mix things up a little.
The contrarian view. Yes.
Well, it's no, because I believe in great radio, not good radio.
Oh.
And the thing is if we, you know, you go Florida, I go Germany, then he gives the answer. It's a little more interesting when there gets to be a victor instead of both picking the same side of the coin. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see.
What is it? We're going to flip this coin. What side do you want, Bruce?
Heads.
Heads? I'm going heads, too. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Bad radio. Us even talking about it.
That was just so Florida.
Bad radio. Yeah, Florida, yeah. Because you had the staying with and the horrible gang rape and everything. Yeah. They have their own kind of crime. It's not that crime. All right, let's see. Let's talk to Adam, who's 21. Adam?
Yeah.
What's up?
Not much.
All right, what's your question?
I was wondering, my wife was wanting to use a dildo on me, and I was wanting to know if it would mess up my insides or whatever. Because I've heard a lot of stuff like.
You know who this is, Corolla?
Isn't this the guy
from the Crank Anchors?
Do what?
Isn't this the one that you called and you and Drew and he did the urban thing?
It really does sound like the guy we call in the Crank Anchor thing. You want to do a little compare and contrast, but it's also. It's also sort of the, you know, basically the sound of white trash, which is a universal sound. Go, keep going, Adam. I'm repulsed and intrigued.
Well, I just wanted to know if it's...
And hold on a second. Your name cannot be Adam.
Yep.
That is a made-up name.
Nope.
Really? Your name is... Your parents gave you the name Adam?
Yep.
All right. Start calling me Alan, would you, Bruce? Okay. So, she wants... See, here's the thing. If your wife suggests using a dildo on you, it's either a very nice compliment or a real slap in the face. 90% of the time, slap in the face.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a little payback time, right?
Could be.
Well, you know what I mean? Just... What percentage of the time is a chick trying to bring a guy pleasure, and what percentage of the time is it payback time? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a loaded question, which I won't answer. But.
Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
I don't trust your wife. I'm not even sure if I believe this question.
It's true.
It's true. And what do you think could happen to you if she did that to you?
I don't know. I've heard it gives you runs.
Well, what about trauma to that area, Bruce?
Yeah, that's a distinct possibility. Depends on the size of the dildo.
Oh, really?
You definitely want
one that's longer than it is big around.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you don't want to stretch out.
You want one shaped like a can of tuna.
No. So something too large, you know, if he's tensed up.
You want a hockey puck size one.
Right. You can definitely get anal bleeding, and if you get further inside, you could... cause a rectal tear. So you want to use plenty of lubricant. You want to be very relaxed.
Mm-hmm. How do you tell someone to relax, though, when this is being administered to them?
Well, I've heard you give the same advice to, you know, when a woman's using it.
Well, what should you do? Have a wine cooler and take a sitz bath?
Similar advice to anal sex.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Okay, so lots of lubricant, being relaxed, because you're putting something there that can definitely... That area, there's a lot of very...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've had anal sex, and I passed out a couple times.
All right, we haven't gone to break yet. Here's the thing. You don't trust a guy who's into this or a chick who's into doing it to a guy, do you?
Well, I would wonder what's going on in the marriage. I mean, how long have they been married? Is it boredom, or is it just... it doesn't sound like she's wanting to pleasure him. And
Adam?
Yeah?
You two kids getting along okay?
Yeah, we're cool.
How long have you been married?
Going on 2 years in July.
Okay, is the sex life sort of slowed down, and this is something to pick it up, or what do you think?
Yeah, that... It's... I don't know. We were doing it like rabbits there for a while, and then...
Yeah.
Just slowed down.
Well... You kids are going to last forever, by the way. When you're starting to wind, starting to pack up the tent at 21. By the way, this is why you don't get married as a guy at 19.
Yeah, big mistake.
Yeah. All right, sorry for planting that demon seed. How's work going, Adam?
Going good. Got a good job and everything.
You do something involving a forklift?
Nope.
What do you do?
I work in a factory, but I don't do a forklift.
But you've been hit by one? Okay. All right, what do you do at the factory?
Make bottle caps.
All right. Talk about life in the fast lane. Yeah. I don't know why you settled down at 19 when you're working at a bottle cap factory.
Interesting.
You're like James Bond.
Had a baby.
Oh, I see. All right. Because let me tell you something. You know, I remember when I was single, even when I was on MTV, I used to tell people I made bottle caps if I could get a little tail. They'd be like, hey, aren't you the guy from MTV? I'd be, I do a little basic cable once in a while, but I'll tell you what I do during the day, ladies. I stamp them bottle caps.
Yeah. Is that like working with metal? Bottle caps, metal?
It's the main difference between a twist-off and a pop-top. Sure, okay. I work the main press. That thing's operating over 2,000 PSI. It's called, with sides, we call it perforated. It's, yeah, that's perforated. Yeah.
You're a dick to a lot of people on the air.
Well, I like that. Where'd that one come? Good work, Anderson.
All right, so yeah, don't encourage him.
Maybe met his wife there, or do you think he sat as a line?
She said Shirley Feeney. She put her glove on one of the bottles, and then they did the schmeasel and schmazel. She rode on the handlebars of the bike.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Adam.
Yep.
Where did you meet your wife?
Met her up at college.
Met her?
Community college?
No, what kind of college? Bottle camping college?
Nope. That's my living now.
No, I don't want to make fun of your livelihood, but I'm a pop-top man myself. Do you do the screw-top ones, or do you do the ones where you use a bottle opener?
Screw-top.
Screw-top. For, like, domestic beer, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you a couple of questions. Can't we just go ahead and agree on which one this country's going to use? You know that thing where you're, like, at a party, and you drink a couple Miller Lights, and, like, you know, you do the thing with your hand, and then you grab an Amstel Light, and you cut your hand on it because you're drunk, and you're trying to twist the thing. And then it's like, who's got an opener? Hey, dude, give it here. And some guy's whacking it on the side of the counter. How about we use the twist top on everything? What's the big deal? It works, right?
Yeah.
But
some of those twist things are...
Hold on, wuss.
Some of the bottled water.
No. Look, no, that's a bottled water. I'm talking about the beer.
Oh, okay, the beer.
I'm talking about the beer.
All twist off, aren't they, on the beers?
No. Oh. Are you
the
high?
Domestic beers?
All the domestic stuff.
Yeah.
I think all the domestic stuff is twist off,
right.
But except for, I don't think, like, a Sam Adams is a twist off. You see? And Heineken, I'd have to go down the line.
You're right.
Grohl's got that nice pressure cap.
I love that thing.
Pop that thing on there. I need a cold one.
What's
going on? I need a brewski. Let me talk to Adam. Adam?
Yo.
What is the rule with the twist versus the pop top? Is it all domestic beer is a twist, except for maybe like Sam Adams and some of the microbrews?
Really can't answer that.
Right. It's amazing.
Does he make twists or pop tops?
He makes the twist top, right?
Twist ones.
And what? Now you say you can't answer that. It means it's classified, or you just don't know the answer.
Well, they don't like us to talk about that.
Right, because you don't know. And what about do the beer purists say that it holds the flavor in better or something? The pressure caps as opposed to the ones you twist off.
Well, I don't know. I've heard that.
All right.
Adam's
going to
lose.
I'm perpetually amazed by what people do and what they don't know, what they do. Every conversation. Here's why everyone thinks I'm a huge a-hole is I'm doing something and the guy hands me the blank gun because I'm shooting something. And he hands me the blank gun. And I say, well, this looks like a real gun. Yeah, it's a real gun, but they put a little battery in there and they do a. They take a cartridge and they put on a... what kind of battery that goes in there? I don't know. You don't know? Yeah, it's some kind of battery. Have you ever replaced one? Yeah, I don't remember. You're the guy who handles the gun, though, right? Yeah. You don't know what kind of... Now, here's where it starts getting... Here's where it starts turning to an a-hole. I can't believe what people don't know about what they do. I know he just works at a factory doing the thing, but my first day at the factory, I'd be like, why aren't we using these everywhere? How come they don't use them?
But then he said they don't want him to talk too much about it.
Oh, so he's just being an idiot.
Well, if I were him, I'd worry about that thing being outsourced to China. Next year, they're going to be making those bottle caps in China anyway.
You're goddamn right there. I'm with Bruce on that one. And just make sure she doesn't use the business end of the Heineken bottle on you. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, how do you know if she's in a...
Having an
ectopic pregnancy. Ooh, that's good. I'll tell you all about that after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce is filling in quite nicely for Dr. Drew.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan of Dr. Bruce. He knows of what he speaks. He's good. He is. And he put gel in his hair tonight, which is good because we figured out that the non-gel nights are bad nights for you.
Whatever you figured, I just know I end up out the door putting gel on my hair if I don't walk in with it. So.
Yeah.
You know, no. You've got your quirks. I respect that.
No, this is just good science. And speaking of good science, I was watching 60 Minutes tonight, and they ran a story about dogs who sniff for cancer. And I thought, this is something I've been yapping about for a long time on the air.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, about 8 years ago, I was telling Drew about dogs. Hey, if they can sniff, if they can find a joint that's been packed in coffee grounds and welded into a Mexican fender, why can't they find cancer, or more precisely, venereal sniffing dogs? Dog could sniff out a venereal disease. That's a layup for a dog, right?
Yeah.
That's nothing, right?
No, I'm sure. So what's the story with the... I haven't heard about the cancer sniffing dogs.
Sure, why would you? Yeah. You're your only physician.
Can't charge
you
for that.
You wouldn't know about that. Yeah, besides... Yeah, there's no money in it for you. Why would you be behind that? No, this is... they take dogs, and first off, dogs' nose 2,000 times more sensitive than humans. I don't know how they quantify that. Hmm. Also makes you wonder why they bury their face in fecal matter 2,000 times.
Or eat cat litter.
Right. Like, here's the thing. Your nose is 2,000 times more sensitive than mine. I can smell the ass from across the yard. I'm going to pass out. You've buried your face into it?
Yeah, that's amazing.
You may be, their nose may be like 2,000 times more sensitive, but they have to be like 5,000 times dumber. But Drew brought up an interesting point, which is at 2,000 times more sensitive, it probably smells like pizza. You know, it doesn't smell like ass.
Drew brought that up.
Yeah, he gets lucky every once in a while with a decent idea.
So what kind of cancer do these guys sniff out?
They can do bladder cancer. They can smell the urine. They don't put the dog up there. The dog, you know, you urinate in a petri dish, and the dog sniffs it out. They smell skin cancer, obviously. Smell that, whatever's on you. And lung cancer. They're doing all kinds of cancer. As long as they can get sort of a sample or a blood sample or a urine sample, the dogs will pick it out. It's not exactly finished yet, but pretty good. 2,000 times.
Yeah, well, a lot of cancers produce hormones or hormone-like substances, so the dog, there's got to be some scientific basis.
There's nothing that doesn't have a smell that goes with
right.
it, right?
Yeah.
You know but what I mean?
So they have a test case. They have a sample of urine from somebody with known bladder cancer, and then they...
Right. They have... The no, here's what they do. They take, like, six sort of Petri-type dishes.
Right.
They put regular urine in five of them, and they... I wouldn't mind just doing that gig, topping off Petri dishes with my urine. And then one of them has the urine of somebody who suffers from bladder cancer. And the dog runs around and sits down by the one that has it. And then there was one that was supposed to be one of the dummy ones where the person actually had cancer. They didn't even know about it. So the dog kept going to the one and then would go to the other. And they were like trying to tell the dog, well, the dog's screwing up. And they went and checked and found out that person did have it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's impressive.
Right. But so to do screenings with dogs, what are they planning on doing? You'd go and visit a dog kennel and they'd have a series of dogs.
All right. Listen, if you want to bring that attitude and forget it.
All right.
You just take your laser and overcharge a bunch of old women to get rid of their crow's feet. Let me handle the major stuff. All right.
You had to have laser on your faggoty self.
Wow. Point is if a dog can smell cancer, venereal disease, no problem. Right? Don't you think so?
Yeah.
Now, here's the deal. A lot of women, they don't want to go to the gynecologist because they're a little squeamish about disrobing, getting up on the stirrups and everything. How about running the dog right past them?
The mental picture there is, so you're going to have dogs.
Who hasn't had their crotch sniffed by a dog? One of life's simpler pleasures. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now you could now you could get venereal diseases. You could any kind of fungal disease down there. Any kind of candida. Any yeast, any of that stuff. Boom, dog, pick the whole thing out, or the dog gives you a clean bill of health. You never have to take the panties down. Good for parties.
Yeah, you know, a lot of those on college campuses.
I'm just saying, you're having a frat party. Some chick comes walking through the door, and the dog starts chasing its tail. You got to pull her aside. Or at least tell her to turn her blouse inside out or something so you know, at least you know what you're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Look, it's a great idea.
Okay.
Marilyn?
Yes.
You're 21?
I'm 21.
What's up?
And I just recently found out that I was pregnant because I got really sick. I was throwing up, and I thought maybe I had the stomach flu. Mm-hmm. And so I go into the emergency room instead of making a doctor's appointment, and I do a urine sample, and they find out I'm pregnant. Mm. And so I went through, did all these tests, and they find out there's liquid in my left ovary.
Mm-hmm.
And so the doctor says that it might indicate that I have, I might have an ectopic pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
Bruce, ectopic pregnancy is where the fetus starts forming in the fallopian tube.
The majority of the time in the fallopian tube, theoretically, though it's extremely rare, you can have the fertilized egg land in the abdomen or in the cervix or
somewhere else.
But it's almost other always in the
other than the womb.
But they're all ectopic.
Yeah, those are ectopic locations.
Ectopic, yes. And
right.
So he also said that he wasn't able to determine whether or not he was for sure about it because I'm so early in my pregnancy. I might be about 2 or 3 weeks, maybe 3.
What do they do with that?
Okay, well, first of all, the most typical scenario is after your first missed period, you have some vaginal bleeding or spotting, and you're having pain in one side or the other, okay? You don't have to have bleeding, but you almost always do.
Well, it'd be nice.
Yeah.
And I haven't had any bleeding.
Okay, so sometimes they'll follow serial pregnancy tests. They'll have you come in every other day to follow that. But if you have, they're doing that.
Yes, they are. But the thing is, my first doctor's, I just found this out recently, but my first doctor's appointment will be about in a week or two, and I want to know what symptoms I'm supposed to be looking for. I really don't want to have this to be the case.
Are you having any bleeding or spotting?
I don't have any bleeding or spotting.
And you're not having pain on one side or the other?
But I do have pain, like abdominal pain.
What do they do with ectopic pregnancies?
Well, you can eat.
Hold on. Quiet down. What do they do?
Either surgically remove the ectopic pregnancy and try and preserve the tube, or they're using methotrexate. There's some non-surgical methods of
abortion. They don't try to keep.
Oh, no. It's not a viable pregnancy.
It's not.
No, absolutely not. So you can either surgically remove it, or there are some medications that are being used now, like methotrexate.
No moving it around?
No.
No raising it on the windowsill with the toothpicks like the avocado seed?
No.
Huh. Because that's how I was. I believe that's where I came up. Marilyn?
Yes.
Well, first off, for what it's worth, I believe everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had an ass full of these people? How many times have you heard that in the last year?
Everything happens for a reason?
Yeah. Every time they interview an idiot, that's all they say.
Yeah.
What the F does that mean? Is it just when stupid people don't have things to say, they just say that?
Well,
what about the person that interviews them and just nods their head? Oh, I see. That's quite a philosophy you've cooked up.
Right. Well,
you believe everything happens for a reason? Are you just stupid?
You don't know what else to say.
Well,
something
just
tragic
yell,
happens.
You're stupid.
Oh, I just.
Well, what do you mean everything happens for a reason?
But it's pretty zen, you know. I mean, it sounds enlightened. Everything happens for a reason.
I know. Just the idiot celebrities get away with it, and then sort of. I've heard it 1,000 times in like the last year and a half, and it's driving me nuts.
The world is your oyster.
Nothing.
I mean, because that's all the world is.
Mm-hmm. Now, is the world is your oyster? Is that an approved Corolla-ism or?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's me being facetious. Okay. Anderson
so
seems to
those.
Think I meant the world is your oyster.
Vicodin was talking that night.
He seems he's convinced of it, so he plays it all the time because he thinks it's an example of me doing basically I believe everything happens for a reason.
Oh, my version. The world is your oyster. I mean, see? Because that's all the world is.
You don't see the ironic acting in that, Anderson.
I remember it well, big man.
Yeah. Anderson, if I really thought you thought that was it, I would work hard on getting you fired. So you should hope I think you're just doing that because you don't really believe that. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Okay. So I just want to know, since I'm so early in my pregnancy, are there any symptoms that I could catch or detect?
Well, you're going, you talk to the doctor and you're going back to the doctor every other day, right?
Not yet. I have to make my first appointment in about a week. And I want to know now if there's anything I should be looking for.
Well, pain on one side or the other and bleeding.
Yeah.
So, pain.
All right. You said it 26 times, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Not 26, but several.
28.
So, pain on one. Yeah.
All right, don't even say it again. Don't say it again. Carla?
Yes.
You're 23?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Okay. When me and my boyfriend have sex, and sometimes when he goes down on me, it feels good, but I sometimes pretend like that I'm doing it to someone else. You know, like, I have to pretend that I'm doing it to another female. So the female doesn't have, like, it's not like I'm thinking of someone in particular.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll think of, like I said, another female, or I'll think of me. And I have to kind of...
Well, you'll think of going down on you?
Of how I would do it. Like, how I would want it to be done. And I tell him, but it doesn't feel the same unless I kind of move my lips like how I would want it.
Yeah.
So I...
Well, all right.
I don't understand, like... I don't know, like, I don't know. Just really kind of shy to talk to him about it.
All right. Hold on a second. Let's see if we can sort through this rubble here for a second.
Okay.
Your boyfriend gives you oral sex.
Right.
When he's giving you oral sex, you start fantasizing about you performing it on another woman and or you sort of performing it on yourself but doing it the right way.
Correct.
The world is your oyster. I mean, because that's all the world is.
And a little analogy for oysters.
Right.
But another thing is like, he lives in Santa Monica and I live in Santa Cruz, so we see each other maybe two or three times a month. So what we usually have is just like we'll just talk on the phone or we'll have phone sex and stuff. So that works fine.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, is it because of that? Is it because like the lack of like the actual physical?
The guy's got to log some hours in the pilot seat in order to get certified. I mean, if he's just taking it up with the instructor once every 4 months, he's never going to get certified.
Yeah.
So. It would be nice if you guys could put together a few months where he could sort of not relearn everything that he did the day before or the time before. You know what I mean? It's like if he only sees your vagina every, like, couple of months, then he sort of goes back to square one. You know what it's like? Here's what it's like. It's like you hitting the gym really hard and then not going back for 2 months and then going and hitting it real hard again and then not going back again. You're always sort of in the same place, right?
Right.
You got to put together a couple months so you want to see some results.
Yeah.
Same with oral sex. Am I boring you, Bruce?
No. I was going to ask her how long they've been together in the first place.
I want to know how often they see each other. Once every what?
Two or three times a month, did you say?
Correct. He'll fly up from...
Okay, and how long have you been going out?
About maybe 5 months.
Okay, and how's the relationship on other levels? You get along real well?
We get along awesomely. We love each other. I mean, it's great. It's really great. We talk every day.
So there's not really a problem here. You're not comfortable describing exactly what you want him to do at this point.
I kind of feel embarrassed because, you know, I kind of feel... I mean, everything he does else is good, and I know... I just think it's me. Like, I just feel like I'm...
Well, I don't know, you know, you...
About it because everything else is great.
All right, listen, hold on. You're anxious.
Yeah.
You're up in your head a little bit.
Right. And it's
you
got
to relax. You tell him what you like, or you sort of guide him, and he goes along with it, right?
Yeah.
And it feels good?
It feels really good, yes.
And you have an orgasm?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So
yeah, some things take time, and as you get more comfortable with him, you'll be able to explain.
Yeah, but you already are sort of lending a hand, and you're comfortable with it, and you have your orgasm, and he's not arguing with you, is he? It's not like he's down there going...
But she's a little impatient. She wants...
No, I understand.
She's immediately, when he's doing it, she's thinking of exactly how she'd like
it. I love it when women have fantasies, too, about... And the person doesn't... They don't even know who the person is.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, they go, like women have these... like, the women's version of a wet dream. It's like, I was with somebody, and he was a very sexy... Who was it, Brad Pitt? No. He had no head.
Disembodied.
I couldn't figure out who... It was like his head was tiled out. It's like, what? You didn't even know who the person was? It was awesome. Yeah, but who was it with? I didn't really know who he was. It could have been your brother or your dad. Right?
Yeah.
No, I knew who it was. Well, who was it? I don't know. Then I have concrete...
Guys know exactly who it was.
Yes. If you're going to have a wet dream, you know exactly which person you saw on TV earlier that night you're on top of.
You might not admit that. To the significant other, the smart guy,
right. The smart guy.
So she's not. She's fine with imagining that it's her doing it to herself. She just knows exactly how she wants it done. It's going to take him a little more time in the relationship.
It's fine,
and she needs to just relax and wait until she's.
You guys put together a long weekend. 4th of July is coming up. See if you can get over there for like 4 days. You'll set him straight.
Exactly.
All right, Dr. Bruce in tonight doing a yeoman's job. Dr. Drew, we'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. You here tomorrow night, Bruce?
I think you got me for 4 nights.
4 nights?
Yeah.
If that's true, I'm going to kill myself.
I shouldn't have told
you. Are you high? You're not going to be here for 4 nights.
I'll bring the Valium.
Maybe you are. What drugs you got for me? Do you got stuff?
I'll give you some melatonin. Great for some.
Yeah. What do you got in the Quaalude department?
Fake Quaalude.
Oh, do you?
I'll give you some Benadryl. Tell you the Quaalude.
No.
You can't work with you.
You can't fool my brain. I'm a heavyweight. Give me some pharmaceutical.
Some non-twist-off beers.
See what you can do. Bruce is board certified and all that good stuff. And as a matter of fact, if you have any questions about tattoo removal, that is one of Bruce's specialties. He's a whiz with the laser. We'll give Bruce some plugs. We'll do it after the top of the hour break.
Great.
So we're going to try to move along. Speak to Adam, who's 15. Adam?
Hey.
Hey.
I got a question for you, Adam. Mm-hmm. I was watching Comedy Central the other day, and I saw that you got a show coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to know, like, what that was all about. And by the way, like, you're a comedy genius. You're, like, the best.
Oh, really? Well, thanks. It's going to be after the Daily Show, after the Jon Stewart Show. It'll be on 11:30. It'll be on for half an hour. And it's just going to be me doing my thing. It's kind of a late-night talk show, but instead of having crappy guests, which is the only guests you get when you do a cable talk show, we're just going to have, you know, like those guys who, you know, get trapped in a cave and have to chew their own arm off and, you know, crawl 70 miles to safety and all that kind of stuff. Those kind of people.
So you have interesting guests.
Interesting guests. Mm. Because here's the thing. Or Tom Cruise, except for we don't get Tom Cruise. So what ends up happening is it's, welcome back to the show, Tina Yothers. Come on down, Tina. How's your band doing? Oh, they're playing tonight. Fantastic. That's what ends up happening, so screw it. And, you know, it's not going to be a typical monologue. You know, here's the thing. All those shows, they go up there, all the writers get together, they put together a monologue, they put it on cue cards, and the guy goes up and tells jokes, you know. Michael Jackson gets freed up, and they do a bunch of Neverland pedophile jokes.
Right.
I don't want to do that. Not that what they do isn't fantastic. I just can't do that well. I don't think about jokes. I just have ideas. So phone calls, ideas, and that kind of stuff. In a way, not that much different than this.
So, you know, like
if Bruce was interesting, it would be like this, Adam.
Okay.
Just bring a TV camera in here. So you're going to be the Charlie Rose of the Comedy Central generation.
I will be the Charlie Rose and the, Larry King if he had fluid in his body.
Yeah.
That's what I would be. And that's fine with me. I don't want to compete with all the other late night shows. So no band leader.
You're basically going to have guests you can make fun of, is what you're saying.
I want to have, like the guy who trains the dogs that sniff for cancer. Like, I'm interested in all that stuff. But, you know, all these shows, they put these celebrities on, and some celebrities are interesting, then most aren't, and you have to sort of sit through.
Kiss their ass.
Oh, and it's like, hey, from Smallville, you know him as the neighbor's son.
Ugh.
It's like, now you don't know him.
Yeah. Too many traditional talk shows.
Too many. Let's just do something different. Yeah. Give me something I can be interested in. Yes?
Sounds good.
All right. Really?
I'll be there. I'll be, you know.
No, I'm not going to
watch
you there.
I thought you were asking me to be in.
No.
Oh, you were?
No. No. No, it's deep cable, but not that deep, brother.
You take off some tattoos?
No, no.
No.
All right. Yeah.
Do some hair removal.
No. Well, let's take a break. Bruce is here tonight. Dr. Bruce, better than Drew. You couldn't tell by looking at him or listening to him, but he is. If you cut his brain open, you have a bigger pomegranate with more seeds in it.
That wasn't funny.
But you know what I'm saying.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
Take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hello, everyone. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce, board certified addiction medicine specialist, tattoo removal specialist. Also, dermabrasion, all that good non-surgical facial
stuff.
No
downtime stuff. Yeah.
Really doesn't work. And then, now this guy's good. I'm telling you right now, if you got into a motorcycle accident, you would want Dr. Bruce on the back of the bike and to land on him.
No, why is that?
No, if you got into a bad moped accident, you would want Dr. Bruce to be the first car to come up on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably not
emergency medicine, yes?
Yeah.
Good.
That's right.
Yeah.
Those paramedics are good, though.
Yeah, but not as good as Dr. Bruce. Mm-hmm. Dr. Bruce is filling in for Dr. Drew, who's was in Vermont with his daughter ice skating. And then this is a disaster, by the way, when kids get into stuff and
she's
then you got to follow them around.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here's the whole thing. I used to play football and baseball, Pop Warner and Pee Wee stuff and everything. Here's the farthest, you know, I played for the East Valley Trojans, North Hollywood. Furthest we ever went was Simi Valley one time. Yeah. Other than that, it's like, hey, you're going to Burbank to play the Vikings. You're going to Northridge to play the Knights. You play the Valley Dolphins. They're like an Encino. And you just bounce around 8 miles this way, 6 miles that way. Now, if you're on a baseball team, like a Little League baseball team, hey, we're going to Tokyo.
Yeah.
Everyone pile in. Like, my kid's ice skating. Where's she going? She's going to Vermont, then she's going to New York.
Yeah.
What? Can you imagine when you were growing up? When you were growing up, you said to your dad, yeah, that's my Pee Wee baseball team. We're heading out to Cali.
It wouldn't happen.
I just feel like, are you high?
Yeah. But today, it's
where are you going?
No, Drew's got triplets, so three, he can be going
directions. They make the Nationals, and next thing you know, they're heading to Nebraska and stuff. I mean, what the?
They do a reality show around Drew and Susan.
Yeah, it's too
the
boring.
The kids are going all over the place.
I'm just saying.
They're all good. They're all smart.
All right, but look, here's why you can't get your kid into anything, because the next thing you know, they're traveling.
Mm.
You know, his daughter went to Paris to ice skate 2 years ago.
That's expensive.
Did his wife hit you up for money?
No. She knows better.
I know.
I would have hit her
trying
up
to get
for money
out of Bruce, like trying to hit up one of those plastic owls that's out front of the liquor store.
Ooh.
Well, you know what I'm saying. Times are tight.
Yeah. That's
smart.
The way it is.
Maybe you got money socked away, but you just advertise this poor slob thing. It keeps everyone at bay.
Well, I beg your pardon. Yeah. I don't advertise a poor slob thing. But...
Well, I mean, you're driving your sister's old Toyota and stuff like that. I mean, come on.
I'm frugal. The family Camry. My kids love it. They can tear the thing apart.
Yeah, they love it because they can defecate in it. No one cares. Please. Oh. All right, where are we? Let me say this. We got to give Bruce some plugs. I got to do a little plug here for Durex condoms. By the way, the only condom Dr. Bruce and his boyfriend will use. Party Pack includes CDs, poker set, and money. cash money from Durex Condoms. So each night this week, I'm going to decide who the best call of the night is. If you're 18 years or older, anyone who gets on the air is eligible. Got to be 18 years or older. I'll decide which one to use the best call of the night, and then you're going to win this party pack brought to you by Durex. There's sex, and then there's Durex.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Male or female, either can win, huh?
Anyone. Best call. Hermaphrodites are up for it. All right, you want to give... let's take a call, and we'll give you a plug. All right, let's talk to Steve. Man, I don't want to talk to Steve. Let's talk to Kristen. I'll talk to Steve in a second. Kristen?
Hey.
What's up?
Okay, I'm trying to figure out whether or not my boyfriend's racist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm black. He's white. And, like, when we're together, we're fine. It's like when we go with my friends, something happens. He gets, like, super aggressive, like, mean. It's weird. He gets, like, more aggressive towards other black guys. Like, black girls, like, nothing, but then other guys. Or even, like, Latino guys. He gets kind of weird. And so I'm like...
All right. Well, let's try to figure this out. You have black male, black friends.
Yes.
And he gets aggressive with them?
Not like I'm going to kick your ass or anything, but like just different. Like, you know.
Protective.
Like, he bowls up. Like, I can't explain him bowls up. What does that mean? Okay. Like, he gets tougher, like meaner. Yeah. He doesn't laugh. Mm-hmm. He doesn't smile. He's all like mean. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How old is he?
He's 20.
Well, I'll tell you. He probably feels insecure
and he's trying to assert himself and he's not sure if he's accepted and he's not sure if you're going to be less accepting of him when you're with other guys.
I'm going racist. I'll help you. Here's the deal. 20-year-old guys from age maybe 16 or 17 to the age of like 25 have... a lot of testosterone surging through them, and it makes them really weird with their women around other guys a lot of the time.
Okay.
That's one element. So one element is this is normal. You hang around other males, especially if they're sort of able-bodied guys who are halfway decent-looking and in your age range, these guys are going to sort of step up a little. There's going to be a little alpha male thing going on.
Okay.
A little bit. That's number one. Number two, there could be an interesting race-based element, which is he thinks that somehow because they're the same color you are, that you may be more attracted to them or they may have some sort of shot with you that he doesn't or some sort of advantage. So that could be one element. Okay.
Like he tells me, he's like, they're just, you know, we have nothing to talk about, so I'm standoffish. Or, you know, what would we talk about? I go, well, you both know me. There's something there, you know.
Well, the other element of this is there's a certain cultural je ne sais quoi to the black male. See what I mean? Like, if you hung out with a bunch of Asian guys, you'd probably be a little easier with it. But the black male is the dominant. Male.
Okay.
He's the alpha male.
Okay,
let's
this
face
sounds
it.
So stupid. But he like acts black. It's weird. I can't explain. Like, he's very urban. Like, with his friends, his friends are urban. They listen to rap. They, you know. But with them, it's like, okay, your friends act exactly the same. What's the big issue?
But why don't you got no play, playa?
Drew from the very black Vermont.
Drew sounded street there. He sounded
man,
down.
You want to talk urban?
Was,
how
that
about
that
figure skating in Vermont?
That was super.
Nothing but.
It sounds. I agree with Adam. It sounds like a little more of an inferiority thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, Chris.
Yeah, okay.
Kristen.
Chris, I have a work.
I have a couple. Is it Kristen?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You can call me Chris. It doesn't matter.
All right. Well, what is your name?
My name's Kristen, and you said Chris. I said Chris will work, too.
That's a whole new
conversation.
Right.
Okay, I'm focused.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Yeah.
I do believe that there's a certain amount of racism or race bias in every human being.
Okay.
In that, and then it's a matter of extremes, which is, here's the deal. I feel like I should clear this up with everybody. If there's two, because it's natural human instinct. If you turn on the TV set and there's two guys boxing and one guy is Italian and I'm Italian and the other guy's Mexican or Chinese or black and I don't know either one of the guys, you'll usually root for the guy who is closest to you.
Okay.
I don't necessarily think that's racism, but that's just how you know, the world is constructed.
Okay.
Now, other people will take it a step further. They'll make racist jokes. I don't know a guy who doesn't make racist jokes. I really don't. Mm-hmm. Everybody, but they make jokes about everybody.
Oh, that's great. Everything
is wide open to everything. But here's what I want people of color to understand about the white man. Because as you know, I speak for all white men. White guys make tons of jokes about Jews, blacks, Mexicans, Asians, fat people, gay people, chicks, short midgets, dwarfs, jokes about everybody but them, and the same colors them, but if you're a dwarf or you're fat, you're wide open, too. It's nonstop. I mean, you'll have, right. I have guys around the... there was a guy around the office who was missing a finger. They never miss an opportunity to make a joke about that guy. Balding guys, short guys, everyone is open, okay? Now, here's the thing. I don't know a guy who doesn't do that. I also don't know a guy who would discriminate against one of those people.
Okay.
Actually not hire them or fire them or pay them less or anything like that. Okay. So you can actually live in a society where people sort of make fun of these people and say horrible things about these people, whoever these people are, but it doesn't necessarily translate into anything tangible.
The hell is that? Okay, I'm listening.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, there's not. It's like there ain't a white cop in the world that hasn't dropped the N word.
Okay.
Does that mean they planted evidence at OJ's house? No way.
No. Okay.
See, that's where the connection stops.
Right. But this guy,
Bruce, was using the N word nonstop during the last break.
Okay,
I don't even know what he meant.
That.
Hey, nigger, sit down. Please.
Okay. I don't think so.
But it happens a lot doesn't make it right, is what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, but you also know.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make
it
right.
You kind of said, like, well, it always happens. And you gave it that weird brush off, and I don't like that.
No, here's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It doesn't make it right, but there is a basic human component to make fun or make a joke at the expense of anybody who's different than what you are.
Okay, I can accept that. It's not.
But in this situation, it sounds like this guy wants to fit in. And my experience, I went to a high school that was half African American, half Puerto Rican back in New York.
Oh.
And you just didn't. Well, no.
Sweet.
Listen, if you're a white guy,
hair.
And obviously, I ain't gonna try to act culturally like a different culture to fit in. It ain't gonna work for me.
Now, no.
There's some white guys that have more of the...
You pull white off.
Yeah. There's
barely.
I resent that. But what the Genet, whatever you called it.
What'd I say?
Yeah. There's a certain... Well, anyway, you just can't...
Don't talk about race.
I was going to ask her, is he trying to fit in, and is it not working for him? Is that what you're feeling like, Chris?
I don't know if it's like... He's not trying to fit in. It's not that, because it's different. It's...
But he's trying to fit in by being overly aggressive or acting like...
I don't know if that's it, because, like, we've been places where white guys have hit on me, and he's like, hey, guy, you know, hey, that's my girlfriend, back up, you know, whatever. And then we'll be places, and maybe, like, we're at a party, and a black guy will talk to me, and he wants to fight. And we've
really?
Been fight.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like he's immature to me. Doesn't sound like he's...
I've been in, let's see, four fights, and they've always been black guys over something that a white guy got away with. You know what I mean? Mm. And it's like, okay, well, what's his...
It sounds like he's more threatened...
All right, well, wait a minute.
Black guys, right. And I don't know that he's
Christian.
He sounds immature.
Let's just call him, and look, by the way, they're degrees. They're people that are prejudiced, like, hey, let's go get a lynching going, and then they're people that are prejudiced, like, I'm not hiring any people of you fill in the blank.
Okay.
Here's the deal. This guy probably has some element of prejudice in him. He's also just a basic 20-year-old. He also has some a-hole in him. He's also... hot-headed, hot-tempered.
Yeah.
Here's what I would do. I would either dump the guy all right, well, then don't. But here's the thing. Don't include him in these situations that involve... No house parties.
No, he gets threatened if I'm not going with him. Where are you going?
Well, listen. Here's all I'm saying is... don't bring him around these situations, or don't go to these situations. And if you really do love him, I'll put it this way. A lot of people have that thing where it's like they're best friends with their ex, but it really bothers the new guy or the new girl. And they're like, oh, what's the big deal? We work together. We're great friends. Look, it bothers the other person.
Right.
It doesn't work. It brings a lot of strife to your relationship. Just don't hang out with the ex.
Right.
There's certain things you got to do in a relationship every once in a while where it's like, look, you really love the guy, and the guy gets into a fight every time you go to a party with him. Don't take him to the party. Don't go to the party.
Yeah. But, Kristen, this is a time to find out more about the guy. Communicate with him. If this guy can't start seeing what's going on and learning.
That's enough.
All right.
Steve?
Yeah.
You're 25?
Yeah, Adam. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Good. Hey, kind of a problem I've been having about a year and a half now, but I've been having a lot of problems with impotency lately. And for a guy my age, it just doesn't seem like it's quite right. And I can't attribute it to anything. I was just wondering if you'd give me a little clarification of some possible causes or what might be up with that.
Mm-hmm. What about it, Bruce? What do you know?
Impotence at 25, you can be impotent, but it's highly unlikely.
Will you call it impotent at 25, or do you call it... Is impotent and erectile dysfunction and all?
The term can be used whether it's a psychological or origin for it or a physiologic.
But does impotence imply a consistency like every time? I mean, if a guy lost his boner one out of every four times, you wouldn't call it.
No.
What you call impotence is can't do it.
Right.
Anytime.
Yeah.
That's impotence.
It's consistent.
It's a sort of difference between being blind and being sort of impaired.
Yeah.
So are you actually impotent?
Well, it's not so much that it's like I can get an erection, but it's not like how it was when I was in my teens and my early 20s. Like I'm just kind of always at half staff, if you will. You know, it's not the type of erection that I'm used to having. You know,
are you big? Always, you have a big penis?
I like to think so. I never had any complaints.
Okay, if you don't have a medical disorder, you're not on medications, you know, there are fluctuations in your testosterone level, there are questions, do you smoke, things like that.
But if you're going through this at 25, you need to speak to a specialist, right?
Well, you should just go to his general practitioner, but it sounds more like, are you having morning erections? You know,
Morning erections, Steve?
Hello?
No morning erections.
Mm-mm.
Not for over a year now. And, like, you know how, I mean, you guys, obviously, you know what I'm talking about, but throughout the day, you're kind of always running, you know, a little, kind of getting an erection off and on throughout the day, or it's kind of half there. It's like it's nothing. And I have a hard time getting an erection and maintaining it. And
all right, go. Are you in love? Do you have a girlfriend?
No. But, I mean, I get out there.
All right, go to a doctor.
Yeah,
at this point, you got to go to a doctor. You should have morning erections at 25. You should have it at 85.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Let me talk to you about a couple things. I got this theory. You know, the guys with the super huge dongs, always kind of leathery, never a full good erection.
Where do you get that information? What do you
think? Get it? 70s porn.
Oh.
I was watching the John Holmes movie.
Ah.
And... you know, John Holmes had that huge dong, but was always sort of unwieldy and wasn't always totally erect. You know, it was always just sort of flopping around. And I started thinking to myself, you know, John Holmes probably went like 145 pounds. His penis was like 11 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized there wasn't enough blood in his body to actually fully engorge his penis. Hear me out. I was done, actually.
The guy, okay. Well,
you know what I'm saying?
I don't know how large his penis was.
You don't?
It would have to be immense.
For you not to have enough blood?
To create a volume problem with the blood.
Not that there is enough blood in your body, but if you put it all in your penis, you're not going to have enough to, motor skills and stuff are going to suffer.
You know, with 70s porn, I don't think you base anything physical.
Think they're too coked up?
Yeah, exactly. The chances of those people not having enough drugs in them to affect the quality of the erection.
Well, maybe you're right.
Yeah, before the Viagra days, although they probably would have been dropping dead like flies back then, mixing Viagra and street drugs.
Yeah, Speedball, a little Viagra, a little Coke.
Who knows what, so.
Well, by the way, put me down for one of those.
Okay.
All right, where are we? I'm going to give you a plug.
Okay.
How about a plug for Dr. Bruce? Dr. Bruce is working at a wonderful spa in Studio City, California, called Lush Spa. What are you doing over there, Bruce?
Well, we're doing what you generally have done at a spa. There's available treatments that women love, the pedicures, the manicures, the massage, and then there's the medical side of it, which I do, which are photofacials, Botox, lip filler, tattoo removal.
Tat removal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And are you doing a lot of that?
Oh, yeah. you know, tattoo removal is very popular because tattoos are extremely popular in a at any given time, probably about a third of the people that have tattoos want something, a lot of modifying tattoos. Somebody wants a name removed or they want a part of a tattoo changed or lightened so they can get another tattoo over it. Just a lot of stuff like that. So removing them, modifying them.
Yeah. Because, when you're
using a laser.
45, you don't want that tattoo at the small of your wife's back that says sack coaster. Well, then, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's got to go.
But the classic, you know, girlfriend's name on the guy.
Yeah.
Old girlfriend's name.
Yeah.
Getting married.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. All right. How many sessions to break up tat?
An average of 8 to 10 sessions a month apart.
Month apart?
To get 90% of it removed. And
you can't do it 2 weeks apart because your body doesn't absorb it that fast?
Right.
Your body absorbs it.
Body
and then
absorbs
you pee out the tattoo?
Well, it goes through your liver. It goes various places. But it takes about a month to... When you have the laser hit the tattoo ink and you walk out after the session, you really have just as much ink there. It's just broken up into smaller fragments that, as you said, you can absorb.
And your body absorbs it. So the whole deal is you break the ink up into smaller molecules.
Well, the reason a tattoo stays permanently is because it's actually in droplets. They're fairly large droplets. And you have white blood cells come in. It is a foreign body. And when people first get a tattoo, you have the redness and the inflammation. And that's the white blood cells. They want to come in and eat that stuff up and move it away. But size of the droplets is too large. So the laser breaks it up into little fragments that can be removed.
And the white blood cells eat it up.
And they can come in
they're
and
like
eat it
the
up.
Scrubbing bubble.
Scavengers, right.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. I don't think I have any of those white ones in me. Do black people have white ones, too?
Yes.
Wow. Heavy.
Heavy.
Heavy. Right. Heavy. Heavy. Jay? Jay?
Oh, yes.
Oh, Jay the chick. By the way, Bruce is at a wonderful place called Lush Spa. And we'll give you that phone number
before we go
to break.
LushSpa.com.
LushSpa.com. All right. Go ahead, Jay, the female.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could give me information on sebaceous prominence.
The what? Sebaceous prominence.
Okay,
so
sebaceous is used to describe the... typically, you get sebaceous cysts, and it's the term... Next to every hair follicle, you have a sebaceous gland that produces a lubricant for the hair. So anywhere you
every
have a hair follicle...
Every follicle.
Yeah, anywhere you have a hair follicle, you have a sebaceous gland, and you can get prominence of those... And you can get cysts.
How do you get prominence? What's a prominence?
Well, it's a little bit of swelling.
A little swelling.
Means it's
because it gets infected
usual.
Or something.
It can get infected, or they can just you have a plugged pore. Mm. So I don't know. What are you talking about this in relationship to? Because you have sebaceous glands in lots of places in your body.
Well, my first experience was giving oral sex to my boyfriend. He had bumps all over his penis. I naturally freaked out, and he said that it's been there as long as he can remember. So, you know, I trust him, so I looked it up on the internet, but there's really not that much information. And and the picture of sebaceous prominence looks most similar.
No, hold on a second.
Yeah.
These bumps were all over the shaft of his penis?
About halfway up the shaft.
Yeah, well, you have hairs.
Yeah, no, nobody gets that.
Well, the point is, you shouldn't
be... Does anyone get that?
Yeah, you can get that.
I never heard of that.
Well,
I've been sitting here for 10 years, I never heard about sebaceous prominence.
Well, probably wouldn't have if she hadn't called in tonight, but you have those little sebaceous glands with every hair. They can swell up. Listen, here's the thing.
I'm not going for this.
Yeah. You shouldn't be making a diagnosis like that. You shouldn't be looking in a book.
Right.
I don't care if you trust him or not. You get him to go to the doctor. You make sure he goes.
Yeah.
And you have... A doctor has to eyeball that and make a diagnosis. You shouldn't be making a
Could
diagnosis.
Could be warts,
like that.
For all we know.
Well, doesn't work like any warts. I have.
Well, human papillomavirus. There's about a billion strains of that virus, causing a lot of different.
Yeah. Are you pre-med, by the way?
No, sir, not.
What are you doing?
I'm a journalism student.
Journalism student.
Yes.
At bartending school?
No.
Where are you going?
The University of Southern California.
Really?
Well, don't get defensive here.
USC.
That's right.
Wow. Parents have some... Yeah, parents got some money?
They make sacrifices.
Right.
Okay, so Jake, right. You get the point. You understand? In other words, you don't want to be making that diagnosis. It's not a matter of trusting someone if he has... Yeah, those are lesions. Yeah, and those are undiagnosed.
Could be the pearly penile papules that we used to hear so much about on this show.
Right, but there are a bunch of different things that could cause that, and you really a doctor has to look at it.
Jay sounds hot, though.
Mm-hmm.
Jay, are you good-looking?
I hope so.
Jay's a hot name for a chick. Is that short for something?
Yeah.
What's it short for?
Jeff.
Hold on. How can it be short for something that's shorter?
Well, because my name is Jessica, but people call me,
I'll call you Jay. Okay. That's good. That works. All right. Bring him in. Check him out.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. All right.
Perfect timing.
Oh, yeah. All right. Should we take a break? Tattoo artist, got a question.
He's inking someone right now, and he's
tattoo on penis. Candace?
Hi.
Your boyfriend has a tattoo on his penis?
Yes, of a screw.
Really? Flathead or panhead?
Flathead.
Do you know it's a...
I don't know.
Does he know what kind of screw it is? I mean, is it like a machine screw or self-tapping screw?
She's not amused.
Not amused.
No. Just a screw.
Okay, just a screw. And that's kind of cool and ironic.
Reminds me of that Welcome to Jamaica joke.
Yeah. He should put a nut on his nuts.
I think you'd like to see that go away, huh? You don't want more tattoos on.
Yeah.
You know, but by the way, if you're hooked up with a guy who's got a tat on his dork, it's time to keep moving. That's just drug addict. That's just junkie. Something's wrong with the guy, right?
He's actually a really nice guy.
Was he? Oh, I'm sure he's just a light. Oh, let me close my eyes. Yeah. I'm picturing Lord Fauntleroy. High knee socks, powdered wig. Real old school. Yeah, opening car doors, putting his coat down over puddles for you to step on.
And I'm sure she's the first one who's seen this tattoo.
What, what does he do? Work at a video store?
He works at Blockbuster.
Yeah. Let me tell you something.
I can't believe it.
All right, what does the thing say on there? What is her question? Hold on a second. By the way, no one is ever impressed with my clairvoyant abilities.
I'm more than impressed. I'm awed.
What does it say on the screen about
boyfriend that? Has a screw tattoo on penis, wants him to remove it before sex.
Right. Anything about working in a video store?
No.
No. Here's how I know he works at a video store, because this is some sort of corral for the damned. This is where the unemployable end up. It's sort of the gutter of all the runoff just ends up at the video store. These are people that are completely unemployable. Now, they could be employed in the construction trades, because we accept all these mutants, too, except for they don't know anything. So they just end up at the video store. The weirdest people in the world end up at the video store. Is there some sort of law that they have to employ people that are unemployable?
I don't know how you do that. I was talking to a friend of yours last week, and they were afraid. They said, now, don't tell Adam this, because if you do, he'll figure out what this girl, what his new girlfriend does for a living.
Yes, don't tell me things.
And I said, come on. And they said, nope, the guy has an uncanny ability to predict profession. So that is amazing.
All right. Well, here's the thing. How long to remove a penile tattoo? Same?
Yeah.
Same as if it's on your shoulder?
Yeah. Really, it's no different.
You're going to need a little bump, though, in the price department, right?
No.
A little hazardous duty?
No, it's a medical procedure, so I'm not going to.
Yeah, but let me tell you something. Some playmate comes in and wants her little bunny ears taken off her right boob.
Mm-hmm. Same price.
Same price as the dude who works at Blockbuster staring at his dork for an hour at a time.
I'm a physician. This is not a recreational.
You're a man
sport.
First.
No. Put the white coat on and.
All right. Still, it's got to be horrible though when the guy comes in and drops his pants.
Well,
what do you do with his penis? You put it on something? You have like a bun that you work off of or something? Where's the penis? Where does it sit? Does he stand up? Does he lie down?
However he's most comfortable.
If you were going to take a tattoo off my penis, how would I do it? How would we stand?
You'd probably lay down and we'd put a drape underneath. There's various ways. Listen, I've sewn them up.
Let me tell you some of that laser. First off, nothing worse than the sack, the smell of a sack, male sack. Nothing worse than male sack. Then nervous male sack. You know, come in, you get a little of that flop sweat going down in the jockeys because you're worried about the doctor. So you get nervous sack sting. Then boom, you hit a rogue sack hair with that laser. Get to smell that cooking.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, no, the hair's vaporizing.
You put that drape on the sack and put the dork on the drape, right?
Right.
And then what if the guy starts getting erect?
Ain't gonna happen. Believe me, ain't gonna happen.
All right. All right. Let's take ourselves a... how much to do the guy's dork?
It depends how big the tattoo is.
Candace?
Yes?
How many square inches of ink is there?
How big is... Oh, chicks
don't
know any.
About 2 inches long.
About 2 inches long.
Yeah, that's all right. $75 a treatment.
All right. And it'll get to 4 inches, but it'll probably be more like 5/8 of an inch when you see it. So, Candace, it's going to take a while for him to remove this. How about you just give it up? Have some sex.
Oh, it makes it seem like a joke. I don't want to have our first time to be... joke. I want it to be special.
What if he put a condom on that would cover it up?
No.
I
don't
think so.
No.
It takes time.
Because it's going to take a year to get rid of this thing, Candace.
That's fine.
Really? No problem?
Let's get him on the line.
You're really into this guy and you're not going to have... How about oral sex?
Well, yeah, it's not the same thing.
So you will give him some oral sex?
Yeah.
All right.
Is there some way to get it removed to keep down the scarring, or is it...
Yeah, they use a laser, but it takes 8 or 10 sessions. It could take a year.
Yeah, does he have a propensity to scarring and forming keloid?
Guys, we got a break.
She doesn't know.
All right, got a break.
Let me just ask Candace quick. Is it a slot head screw or Phillips head?
I don't know what that means.
You don't know? Yeah. That must be nice. Chicks have never known anything. It's Phillips head, you know, the head of the screw. They got to draw the head in. Is it an X or is it a line?
She doesn't know.
I would know if I were her.
This is your new record, girl. It's the longest love line segment ever, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, let's take a break. Should we take a break? I've set a new record.
Can we upset Anderson more by waiting?
Yeah, but he'll just pull the plug on the whole thing and commit suicide. So we'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. What a delight Dr. Bruce is. All right. Now, someone who's a tattoo artist who's inking someone right now. Well, actually, I say right now. He's been on hold for 40 minutes.
He's priced him.
Case? I probably put the phone down. He was just there. Case?
Hello?
Case, hey. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
What's up?
I have crazy interference.
It's the ink gun.
Yeah. You think that's your phone? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you better now. I'm getting major echo on my own voice. I turned off the radio and everything.
Well, spit your question out, and then we'll answer.
Okay, here's my question. My question is, I'm a tattoo artist, and people are always asking me what about removing tattoos, and I'm usually sending them to a doctor named Dr. Popcow in Mar Vista. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
I know Steve. He's a great guy. Does great work.
You know him.
Bruce called him a homo about 10 seconds ago before we went on the air. Said he hates him.
Steve Hopkins.
I know there's
great.
The YAG laser and the Ruby laser and CO2 laser and all these things. And I've had people come in here and give me cards and say, we do tattoo removal. And I'd say, what kind of laser do you use? And they go, what kind of laser do we use?
Well, what is the best? Know. All right, well, what's your question, Case?
My question is, when people come and tell me, ask me, like, you know...
Okay, the lasers that are used...
What kind of laser should I tell people to look for? What's the best kind of laser that
Okay, the most commonly...
Hold on a second. I'll put him on hold. Uh-huh. He can turn his radio up now and listen to your response.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, go ahead.
The most commonly used and probably about the best is a Q-switched ND-YAG, or a lot of people just call it the YAG laser.
How does that work?
Well, the difference between that and other lasers that you use in the skin, it's an ultra-high energy but ultra-short pulse. So the normal skin-type laser, you're in the thousandth of a second. This thing's approaching a billionth of a second, literally, with the newer technology. So incredibly high energy, though. You're in the, you know, literally thousands of times more energy than another type of skin laser.
So it's,
but
it's
thousands of times
is it,
less.
Is it better for certain things or better for everything?
It's almost exclusively, Q-switch lasers are almost exclusively used for tattoo removal because you get this extremely high, it's like throwing, you know, your photon is a light particle. So you have extremely high energy, but you don't let them accumulate heat in the skin and burn the skin. So somebody will walk out.
So
with
you don't use it, it just, it does it in pulses.
Thanks, Andrew.
Yeah.
It so you yeah. walk out, you don't even have blood anymore. In the last 10 years, there have been a lot of improvements in the technology so that you have a little swelling most of the time,
when
but
they,
no bleeding.
When they talk about laser surgery, when they talk about, like, a doctor who's doing labiaplasty, and there's asymmetry in a woman's labia, and so he's going to use a laser to take off the extra stuff.
That's totally different. Yeah.
It's different, but is it a laser? Is it a laser knife, essentially? I mean, are they cutting flesh with the laser?
Right. That's...
They are. There's no... When they say laser surgery with that kind of surgery, are they talking about a laser beam that is cutting the flesh, sort
right.
of James Bond-esque?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not an expert on labia surgery, but people are using lasers to cut in different... You know, they're used in different parts of the body, different organ systems. For the skin... they've gotten away more from doing things like resurfacing where you're burning off skin to more non-invasive, no downtime procedures.
So you want the YAG laser, best right. for removing tats.
Yeah, well, ruby laser, alexandrite are okay. And the most commonly used laser now, I'd say what's happened over the years, people have gone to ND-YAG, or they'll just call them YAG lasers.
And when you shut it, you got to yell YAG off. And it's yell your sister. And where are the most of these out of? Mexico?
No. Most of them are made in America. There are a lot of Chinese systems coming on.
What a thought, Mexico.
No.
Well, see? You sure?
No.
American and Asians,
there's
huh?
There are a lot of people going down to Mexico for other procedures.
Like, yeah, but I mean where they're actually, you know, where I'm sure the R&D goes on in Mexico, and then they ship them to China for manufacturing.
No. There's...
No.
A lot of R&D right up in Silicon Valley.
Right here in the States.
Yep. Shock.
Yeah. Wow. See, it takes a big man to admit when he's wrong, though. Huge man. Catrice?
Yes. Hi.
You're 20?
Yeah, I'm 20.
What's up?
I had a question for Dr. Bruce. I'm trying to apply to med school now, and my personal statement involves mother.
Hold on a second. You know my theory with Mexico? No. Is as long as they listen to that horrible, horrible ranchero music, they're never going to invent anything.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
You ever hear that ranchero music? You can't have a space program and play ranchero music. You know what I'm saying?
They have totally different instruments. I'm not even familiar
with. They got a guitar that got hit
Guitaro.
With gamma radiation and grew.
You're right.
Grew to eight times the size of a regular guitar. I'm just saying you can't listen to that music and invent stuff.
Yeah, I think you need some, like, cultural diversity training or something.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Well,
cultural sensitivity.
I'm just saying, you know, that's why they don't have a space program. It's the ranchero music. You got to think about that. You think scientists can sit around and listen to ranchero music?
Yeah.
You know I'm right. Listen, show me a culture that listens to classical music. I'll show you culture's got a space program.
Austria.
All right, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I'm just going to include that in
Lapland.
I'm going to include that in Germany. Catrice?
Yeah, hi.
You want to go to med school?
Yeah.
All right. What do you got to say about that, Bruce?
Oh, that's
no.
great.
I didn't ask my question yet, though.
Oh, okay.
My mom's a drug addict, so my personal statement involves her, and my dad just thinks that's a really bad idea for me to talk about that.
Mm. What's your personal statement? Is that how you get in?
Yeah.
Well, that's part of it. It's an important part of it. But
what was your personal statement? Who was it? I'm going to drive my sister's Camry one day? What was your personal
anal sex
statement?
And I cast out a couple of
Ooh,
times.
Bold.
I'll avoid this behavior in the future.
Bold. all right.
I've answered for myself.
All right, look, here's the deal. Your personal statement, I guess, is something you have to submit when you're applying?
You know, yeah, if I could figure out what medical schools are actually looking for, because there's a diversity of medical schools and a diversity of profiles. Okay, so some schools are just dead set on looking at your MCAT score and your grade, your GPA, and others take more interest in your personal statement and recommendations.
Here's the thing. We got to take a break. If you're gonna upset your mother because you're using her past drug abuse or current drug abuse as part of a statement, whatever that statement is, maybe you shouldn't do it.
Well, they're going to look at your insight into what's happened and how you've handled it
Leave your screw-up family out of it. I agree with your dad. And I know you want to pay your mom back a little bit, and this is a decent chance to do it.
No,
what are you talking about? Of course it is.
Here, be prepared in the interview to discuss it, and you really want to
discuss your mom's drug abuse.
Well,
really?
They're going to talk about the family. You don't know what they're going to bring up, but if they ask you, what are you going to say? You need to be prepared for
that. I'm not going
to
ask your mom's a junkie.
But I want to know what she's done.
Well, put her on hold.
Okay.
All right, we got to take a break. Look, you want to pay your mom back, your parents back, you get a radio show, and you call your dad a pussy every night. It's awesome. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back after this. Hello, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Tomorrow night, SpongeBob is in studio. Not the guy who does the voice, but the actual mascot. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we got him from City Walk. He's going to be hanging out. But, you know, some insights on, you know, who would, you know, accept $6 an hour to almost die inside a mascot suit. Here's the thing. Mascot suits in summertime.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a bitch.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
In Southern California.
Heat-wise.
Oh. Don't they have little air conditioners in there?
I don't know. I don't see them dragging any extension cords or anything. I mean, like, if you're like a troll up at Magic Mountain, do they still have trolls over there?
I don't know.
Let me tell you something about this Magic Mountain. You know, their advertising campaign is that creepy, bald, old guy with the weird glasses dancing his ass off?
Hmm.
You don't know what I'm talking
about? No.
What the? Do you see what I'm up against? Do you see? You've seen that commercial 7,000 times, right?
Many times.
Everybody within the sound of my voice has seen that commercial 700,000 times.
Huh?
What is it about doctors, you and Drew, the same way? Like, you go, you know that stuff, it's not beer, it's not a wine cooler, they call it Zima. Never. You know, you see the billboards. No.
Well, we only
watch... That, you know that show that Ozzy Osbourne's in on MTV? It's called the... No. But you've heard of it. No.
It's sort of passive-aggressive, actually.
Yeah.
It's been like being abducted by aliens and just let down again.
Yeah. Look, the commercial they run ad nauseum for Magic Mountain. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. The bald old man with the glasses and the suit. He's dancing his ass off.
Huh? Do they run that on C-SPAN?
Oh, okay. Don't get all...
I haven't seen it.
Don't turn your nose up.
All
you
right.
cannot not see it.
I've never seen
I'm going to give you two choices.
Okay.
Choice one, have seen it.
Yeah.
And remember it well. Choice two... Have seen it and don't remember I've seen it. But not seen it is not on the menu.
Okay, listen.
It's impossible for you not to see it.
I haven't seen it. I've seen every SpongeBob episode that's
just tell me you've seen it and don't remember.
Billboards and buses as well.
Billboards, buses.
I have not seen it.
It's impossible to not see. It's like you telling me you haven't seen your feet. I don't believe
I
you.
My feet, but I haven't seen my
Yeah, you don't remember seeing your feet, but you've seen them.
I bet you can't even remember why you were asking me if I've seen this.
I'll tell you why. Because
raving
this,
and raving like
this is the worst advertising campaign since Domino's introduced the Noid in UPS. What can Brown do for you? It's the worst idea of. But here's the whole thing about this is here's my life. You have no idea what I'm talking about, so this rant is null and void.
Okay.
You understand? But here's what happened. I'll speak to our engineer. They now take the most annoying guy in the new campaign as there's now two of them. They now use two of the creepy old men doing the crazy dance on top of the bus. Nothing?
Oh, Bruce, yeah. I think I've seen that. I don't remember on top of the
phone. Shut up. You haven't seen anything. Are you S-ing me you haven't seen that?
Okay, do you TiVo stuff? Do you
Yes, I do.
It's faintly ringing a bell.
It is ubiquitous. You cannot drive through town without seeing the creepy old bald guy with the Swifty Lazar glasses in the suit doing the crazy dance.
Can you make a medical analogy for me?
It's like saying... look, I've never seen. I don't know what a belly button is. I've never seen one because I'm not a doctor. Idiot. All right, I wash my hands with you.
Okay.
And your ilk.
Can I leave now?
No. Okay. You stay here so I can punish you a little more, and then you can leave.
All right. I'll avoid this behavior in the future.
We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. For tuning in there, kiddies. Tom Kenny in here tomorrow night. SpongeBob to you. Cisco?
Yep.
Here's the great, great news, Cisco.
What's that, man?
You won yourself a Durex party pack.
Oh, cool. Is SpongeBob going to come to my house after tomorrow night's show?
Yeah.
With a Durex.
He'll deliver it.
Oh, great for him.
Right in your can.
Yeah. By the way, surreal. When you guys are talking about the Magic Mountain guy and stuff from all the Six Flags parks up here in Northern California, it scares the crap out of my friggin' sister, and she's 19.
Yeah. It is the worst campaign
I remember
I've ever seen.
Now, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. Sucks.
All right. Cisco, you are clearly the best call of the night.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't even know what your question is, but we got to go. So hang on. Hang on, and I'll tell you what. Take Cisco's number. We'll put him on first tomorrow night. Bruce can talk to him, but we're also going to give him that Durex party pack, yes?
Excellent.
All right, so until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Bruce saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Eagled. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.